This message is provided by Bridgeway Community Church. Thanks for tuning in.
So excited just to be with you guys. I'm Pastor Mike and get to share the word this week. Last week, though, in the past few weeks, if you were not here, you missed a great series. It was called Crossroads World Religions. Jump back, a lot of great information on world religions, but even more so about how do we engage as believers with other religions. So jump onto our YouTube, on our website. You can get those. You can watch the videos. You can listen to them. You can download the sermon discussion guide. Bunch of great things there available for you as well. This week, though, we're talking about the need for speed. And this reminds me of last summer. I started a new thing. You'll be so proud of me. Some of you probably have been doing this for a while. But last summer, I was like, you know what? I'm going to start biking to work when I can do that. And so I started doing that occasionally. Now, don't get this pumped up vision of Mike. It wasn't like I was biking every day. It was more like once every 2 weeks. Okay? So I started doing that a little bit. And so this one morning, I get out my mountain bike and I start riding down the White Pine Trail to make my way to work. And I see this road biker in front of me. And immediately in my mind, I'm like, I can catch him. Because clearly I'm dressed appropriate. I'm probably dressed like this. And I'm like, yeah, I could definitely catch a guy that doesn't have a backpack on, is in his, you know, in the skinny tires. And so I start pedaling as hard as I can. And the nice thing about my house is it's downhill on the way to church here. So I get a little bit of assistance. And I start making my way and I start catching up to the guy. And I finally do. I catch up to him and I'm like, yes. And I'm like, I think I can hold this pace for a little while. And I just keep on going. I'm like, here we go. I'm making my way to church. And I get maybe another mile or so down the road. And I'm expecting, you know, when I get up to the stop sign, because there's cars crossing, right? You got to stop and not get hit by a car. And I expect when I look back, he's going to be long gone. Well, I look back. Nope, he's coming up right behind me. So now I'm like, okay, well, I guess I got to go faster. So I start pedaling even harder. I'm like, I got this. I can beat this guy for sure. It's a race, and it's on. And I get a little bit further down the road, and I feel this presence, like, right next to me. And I'm like, there's no way he's there. It's got to be a tree or something, right? Like, maybe I'm too far off to the side. And I look over, and no, there's a bike tire about halfway up my bike. Now, I'm not a road biker, but I hear there's a term for this. Anybody know the term? Like, it's drafting or something like that. I think he's just stealing my energy, like just riding along with me, letting me do all the work, and he's getting the benefit of hiding behind me. Well, I keep on plowing then, and I'm like, okay, I guess here we go. I'm not letting him pass me, and he just stays right there the whole time. I'm like, okay, that's fine. A win is a win, right? A tire length or 2 miles, it doesn't matter. A win is a win. We get towards Rockford. And I don't know if you've been in Rockford in the summer, right downtown, but if you have, there's a lot of people that like to walk and do lots of things in Rockford. And so I get in my mind, I'm like, hey, I can lose him here if I just start swerving around the people. Just kidding, I didn't do that. But it did go in my mind. I was like, I could, but I'll probably crash and burn and hurt somebody. So I slowed way down, and he did too, and he pulls up next to me. He's like, wow, nice work, man. Well done. We just get chatting for a little bit, and I'm, like, trying to not be gassed. I'm like, yeah, you too. And then we get right at the end of Rockford, and he just takes off, and I'm like, I got nothing. I'm done. But is anybody else like that in this room? Like, today ends in Y, so it must be race day, right? Like, you get out on something, and whatever you're doing, you're like, it's a race. I may not be, you know, dressed appropriately or planned for this, but clearly it must be a race today because there's wind and I don't know what else. Like, it's today. Today is the day, and there's somebody else here who's going fast, so I have to go faster. And that's a little bit of me, but maybe for you it's not racing on bikes, but maybe it's other things where you feel this need for speed. Maybe it's when you're planning to go to an appointment, right? And if you get to that appointment too early, is there anybody that gets a little mad because they got to the appointment early and they're like, oh, I could have timed that better. Now I just wasted all this time sitting here at the doctor's office. Could have been doing more of whatever else. Or you start calculating how long down to the second it's going to take you to get somewhere. Anybody do that? Or maybe on you, if you get your map, whatever map app you use, and you're heading to somewhere, and it tells you that estimated time, right? And you assume that that time is a challenge, like I have to beat it. Maybe it's just this. Maybe when you go to the grocery store or you go to the car wash, you're scanning for whichever lane is going to be the fastest. Do you feel less productive if you're not multitasking? Right? Like if you're not folding laundry, doing your email while cooking dinner at the same time, like you're not productive enough. Or if you're at work, you're not juggling six projects at a time while answering your phone and getting your coffee back to your desk, right? We all have a need for speed. And this idea actually came around, this problem, and I'm probably the worst of it. So today, you might think that I'm preaching to you, but I'm actually kind of preaching to myself because I think I'm the worst at this. I really do. And I'm not just saying that. I think I'm terrible at it. So I think I need to hear this and continue to work at this. But this problem is called hurry sickness. Now, hurry sickness is an idea from some cardiologists, Meyer Friedman and R.H. Rosenman. They call it hurry sickness from their 1985 book that was called Type A Behavior and Your Heart. That was in 1985, Type A Behavior. Now, I don't know about you, but I think that that has kind of gone beyond just type A-driven kind of people, and it might be more pervasive amongst all of us. Like, check yourself on this one. So when somebody comes up to me and they're like, hey, how you doing? My natural first reaction without thinking about it is to go, doing good, really busy, right? Does anybody else say that? I'm just so busy. Got so many things going on. And it's almost like just an expected response. It's a staple that we expect everybody should be busy. Part of hurry sickness. And I think this changed over time and has grown to a more widespread issue for a lot of different reasons. But I think part of this is we think the problem, our need for speed, is actually the solution to a bigger problem. That bigger problem being, what gives me life? Let me say it again. We think the problem, this hurry sickness, this need for speed, my hurried life, is the solution to get me to figuring out what is giving me life, what can give me life. I actually think, we think the problem is the solution. We think the problem is the solution. Think this way, and it ultimately plays out like this. We say things or we would think things like this, and maybe we don't even think it, but it's just kind of ingrained in our actions. So if we're thinking the problem is the solution, we're really believing that speed is what gives us life. We believe that. My schedule, my busyness is what is going to give me life. We're trying to find life and meaning and purpose and if I just go faster, if I can just increase my speed a little bit, then I can fill in the blank. What would that be for you? If you could go just a little bit faster today, maybe you already did that. If I could go a little bit faster on my way into church today, then I can. What? What is it? Is it you can make more money or get a better position at a job or give your kids more opportunities or be number one at whatever it is, whether it's an athlete or you're an artist or a musician. My question is, though, is will these things really fill us? Will they give us life? And if we look at the world around us, I think we are a culture that is more anxious now than ever before. And I'm not a counselor, I'm not a doctor, so I had to go and look up a little bit of just some of these symptoms and the things that kind of pop up from us being so hurried, from us needing speed. So I jumped online and found an article from Healthline called Hurry Sickness is a Thing. This is from 2020. And they said, they gave us three different categories of ways that these symptoms pop up. The first is in the area of our emotional life. These are emotional symptoms that you might experience if your life is too hurried. You're going to experience stress, more of it, anxiety, the one we just talked about. You can experience loneliness, depression, and anger, right? You get those moments of anger when, you know, you're driving around and somebody decides that they need to be in the spot right in front of you, and they squeak in there with just an inch of space. You get a little flare up, or you're the person that's doing that and you're getting a little flare up because they didn't give you the space. Relationally, we become hostile and impatient, and we're definitely not present. And all this probably plays into that loneliness aspect, right? Like, we're not present because we're thinking so far into the future about what we have to do and the progress that we want to make that we can't be present right now with people because I've got to be thinking about what's next. Physically, though, this also hits us. If we're living a fast-paced, need-for-speed kind of life, physically, you'll see these things pop up. You can experience fatigue and headache, digestion issues. I thought that was interesting. And sleep, or even a low immune system. Some of this stuff, you're like, yeah, I kind of knew that, right? But it's helpful for me to look at this and go, oh, wait. If I see some of these things creeping up in my life, this could be the issue. Now, I'm not, like I said, I'm not a counselor, I'm not a doctor, so I'm not diagnosing you, but I'm saying that these are things to just watch out for, according to the Healthline article. If busyness is your life, I think a lot of times we think about it like this. If I have all these things planned out and I'm doing X, Y, and Z and I need to do more and I need to do it faster, I actually think that I'm in control, right? Like, I chose these things. I'm going somewhere and I'm doing this for progress to get to this spot. But in the reality of it is that busyness is actually your boss. Because you get into those spots and it starts demanding, right? Your schedule starts demanding more of your time, more of your money, and more of your energy. And it locks you in. Because we don't have the space to be able to think through or to reevaluate or to go, is this really giving me life? It locks us in. But see, the real solution to what fills us with life is Jesus. It's not these things. It's not progress. It's not more. It's not our kids being number one or more vacations or more comfortable house. These things, while in and of themselves, they are not the devil. To have those things is not the devil. But I'm telling you right now, they will let you down. Because they can't give you life. Only Jesus does that. Only Jesus gives you life because he's the one that makes you right with God. I'm going to jump into our Bibles real quick. I'm going to jump into Romans 5. You don't have to flip there. It'll be up on the screen. Romans 5:1 talks about it this way. It says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm just going to pause there and focus on this word. So it says, therefore, since we have been justified. Now, justified means made right. That's our standing before God. We are made right. We are right with God. We are at peace with God. You are good to go. We are justified, it says in that verse, by our faith. Right? It says we're justified by our faith. Our faith in Jesus that what he has done is enough. And that's what makes us right. We can't do more to it to make ourselves right with God. We can't go faster. I can't speed my way to Jesus and somehow earn it more and get my life that way. Our speed doesn't add anything to what Jesus has done. But if you're like me, I still wake up every morning and I, for some reason, pop my foot out of bed and I'm like, gotta go fast, got a lot to do, lots of things. Gotta go get the kids, gotta get to school, gotta go eat my food, gotta get breakfast, gotta go meet with Justin, I don't know why, but I got to meet with Justin. Just kidding. I love you, Justin. But got all these things, right? And they start piling in, and I'm so quick to forget it. And I'm like, these things are the things. I keep getting brought back to that. These things give me life. Rather, it's really Jesus who gives us life. I'm going to flip over to Ephesians 3. We're going to be in verses 17 through 19 here. And this part is where Paul, he's talking to the church at Ephesus, and he's encouraging the people that he's been with already. And this is just a prayer that he prays over them. The whole chunk is a good prayer. I'm just going to focus on a couple of verses to kind of give us some handholds. I was put onto this a little while ago as I was thinking about this idea and noticing these symptoms coming up in my own life, that I'm feeling more fatigued, or that I'm getting a little bit more angry, or I'm irritable and quickly flipping the switch. And so I was brought to this chunk of verses. I want to just read these. We're going to read it kind of slow and just think through what it's speaking to us and how this plays into our need for speed. So verse 17, I'm going to go halfway through it. It says, "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love." I pray that you, being rooted and established in love. We are rooted and established in love. When I see the word love in the Bible, my mind always goes to, you could almost replace that just with the word God, right? I'm rooted and established in God because God is love. He's the very definition of love. Now, that's not all God is. There's more, right? But when I think about this, I am rooted and established in God's love. And it's important to be there, to have that be my foundation. Let's go on to the next part. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people. He's talking to the church at Ephesus. So he's talking to all of the different house churches and people that are meeting there. But this is also for you, being the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. I want to read that part again because I think it's hard to read this, right? I kind of wish that I could just hear Paul saying it, because I think he would be saying it with some emotion, because I think it's powerful. I pray that you, it's almost like a dad or a mom praying over their kids. I pray that you'd be rooted and established in love, that you may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide, how long, how high and deep is the love of Christ. That's my hope for you, that you can grasp this. And this is a prayer that I've been praying over my life, that I can each day grasp this love and remember this love, because it is so wide, so long, so high and deep for us. It's incredible. In verse 19, he says, "And to know this love that surpasses knowledge." And that's just it, isn't it? This love of Jesus is beyond what we could come up with. It's beyond our understanding. It's extravagant, and it's way different than I'm naturally inclined to be. "And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." I love that last little chunk there, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. I've kind of been thinking about this chunk for a while to try and understand, what does it mean to be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God? So I chatted with Pastor Ron. Actually, we were kind of bouncing back and forth and just thinking through this, and he was helping me with the Greek and what the actual meanings are. And I'm not even going to attempt to say them, because I'd have to go back and relearn how to say them. But I will say that he helped me just to understand this part, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Another way to summarize that would be, is to be supplied completely of God. We are full when we are supplied completely of God. I love that. That's a beautiful picture. So really, it's good to be full. It's so good to be full, right? We're filled with the love of Jesus. So much so that we know that all the other things can fall in line. We're made right. I can't do more. So if I'm filled with that, I'm no longer needing the speed. Now think about this physically, right? If I have a full stomach, I'm a much better person to be around. You can ask my coworkers if it's before noon. I will at least ask you a half dozen times if it's time for lunch. And then afterwards, I'm a peaceful person, right? Like, it's good physically to be full. It's good emotionally and relationally as well, though, and spiritually. If we can be full, things become a little bit easier. Now, easier on one level. So I want to take an experiential kind of a look at Jesus to understand this a little bit more. There's some things about Jesus that I think are amazing. A lot of everything about Jesus is amazing. But one of the things that ties into today is a chunk where he talks in Matthew 11, in verse 30. He says at the end of this, he says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Maybe you've heard that before. "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." And I got to thinking about that this week. And I was like, easy? Your yoke is easy? Like, let's think about what Jesus was going through. He's raising up disciples who are pretty hard-headed and not getting it. He's healing crowds by the masses are coming to him. He's having debates with Pharisees, and he's being pursued and threatened to be killed. He is on his way to the cross. Does that sound easy? It doesn't sound easy to me either. But what I think when I hear this, then, he says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light," is because for you and me, we don't have to do anything. You can't speed it up. You can't earn it more. You can't do to be able to get. This has been done. So when he says that, "My yoke is easy, my burden is light," is because he knows for you that if you rest in him, in his love, in the fact that he has already justified you and made you right with God, that's the peace that you're no longer having to run and race after. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. So once we have that, we kind of get our foundation in the right place. We still have to battle this, right? Like I said, every day I'm still struggling with this. And I think there's a couple things that I picked out from different things I was reading and thinking about. Other people that have thought through this as well, the solution to the need for speed, this hurry sickness, is to prioritize. And you're like, come on, Mike, I already prioritize, right? I've got three jobs, I've got a full-time job, I'm a full-time student or athlete. I've got a lot going here, and I'm already putting priorities. I really can't add or change anything. But I want to challenge that and just say, that if it's important to us, we'll spend time on it. If it's important to us, we'll spend time on it. So is everything in your schedule really the top importance? I know it's not mine. What things have crept in? What things have snuck into your schedule, making you have to be faster, needing more speed? I say this all the time to my kids. Every time you say yes to something, it's really a no to something else, right? Any other parents in the room saying that to their kids every once in a while? So what things really matter most? I'm drawn back to the story of Mary and Martha, and I'm just going to tell it to you. We won't read it, but if you don't remember it, or if you haven't been in there a little while, this is the story where Jesus is sitting down and he's teaching the disciples in a house. And Mary and Martha are there as well, and probably some others. And Mary comes and she sits down at Jesus' feet to learn from him. And Martha is in the kitchen, I assume, and she is making the meal. Super important, like I just said, hungry. Like, that's an important piece to take care of. We want to be full. And Martha comes to Jesus, and she says to him, "Hey, can you talk to my sister Mary? Because she should be in here helping me." And Jesus says, "Mary has chosen what's better, and it will not be taken from her." See, Mary has prioritized there, and so did Martha, but they had different priorities. And I often wonder, and I won't ever know this, right, because it didn't happen this way, But I often wonder, what if Martha at that point had said, oh, okay, and she just sat down, right? Sat down at Jesus' feet at that point. They probably would have been really hungry because there would have been no meal being prepared, right? But she would have been filled in another way, in a way that's really life-giving. The other piece I think is super important is to space out your life, to space things out more. We get this from the beginning. If you jump back to the beginning of the Bible, you'd read how God created the earth, and he created it in 6 days, and on the seventh, he rested. And it wasn't because he needed to rest. It was for us that he rested. And Pastor Justin gave a great sermon on Sabbath a little while back. You can jump into that and kind of get a bigger picture about how you can include Sabbath in your life. But super important about even God demonstrating to us how to create space in our life. Another story I want to tell you that I see just in Jesus as I'm kind of trying to model my life after him is this guy named Jairus comes up to him. I don't know if you heard of this story. It's in Luke 8. But he comes up to him and he says, hey, I've got my daughter. She's sick. She's dying. Can you come and heal her? And Jesus is, of course, he's on his way. And he starts making his way to her. But on his way there, he gets stopped by another lady who has a bleeding disease. And he doesn't just blow by her and say, yeah, I got to go. I got to go. I got a dead person over here. He doesn't have that response. He stops and he deals with the situation at hand. He's not even hurried in that moment. And I challenge you, I haven't found it yet, but I challenge you to look through the New Testament and see if you can find any place where we ever see Jesus running, as written in the Bible, or hurried, or rushing anywhere. I just don't see it. And if I'm trying to be like Jesus, I want to model my whole life after him. I want to see these things, the intangibles that you wouldn't necessarily hear all the time, but I see it in his work that he is not hurried. He is ready. He is open. He is present in the moment. Now, there's this book. It's called Margin. I don't know if anybody has read this. It's by Richard A. Swenson. He says, he's talking about the same idea, spacing it out, but he calls it margin. He says, this is an idea that's not in progress books or success books. And many people may not even want this cure. But I think some of the things, and he said this too, that in our progress, in our success, in our thinking of moving forward, that we overlook or we miss is the importance of our emotional life, our spiritual life, and our relational life that are lost when we talk about success. They're harder to quantify, they're harder to put numbers to, and it's harder to see the impact for. I've been working at this lately. How do I add more gap, more margin, more space in my life? So I do this workout. It's nothing right at home about either, but I do this workout right after I drop the kids off from school. I've got 1 hour exactly to drop them off and then get to work. And so my workout facility is right next to the school, so I can't really avoid it or give an excuse. But I could work out, right? Like if I play that out, I could work out for 47.23 minutes, right? Like if I calculated it out to the precise second. Yeah, and sometimes I might actually show up on time to work. But instead, I started stopping my workout at 8:35, giving myself 25 minutes instead of what it probably takes, which is more like 7 or 8. And I started doing that because I wanted to put my hope in the right place. This workout, my 20 to 30 minute workout, that's not going to save me. Me doing it for 45 minutes, it's not going to save me. Although I'm not saying don't do a workout, workouts are good. But what I'm saying is I wanted to create space because while I'm working out, I'm running into other people. And I want to have availability. I want to be present in those moments for the people that I'm engaging with. So that when they ask questions or when we talk about real life or when they want to know more about Jesus, I don't have to say, gotta go, 47.23 minutes. I want to give them some time. That's one area where I'm trying to make an impact in my own life. Sometimes, though, the habit of speed in our lives is so ingrained, we need a reboot. things like a youth trip. So if you're a student in this room, middle school and high school, take advantage of the youth trips that we have here. There's a few coming up this summer with Pastor Justin. You'll be able to hear about all of those, and maybe you already have. Come backpacking with us in the Tetons to get out and connect with God. It's not a find yourself trip, but let's find God trip. Or a trip with Bridge of Hope, like you just heard about, that they're in Guatemala making an impact. All these things to unplug from the noise of life and to focus on God. I'm going to have the worship team start making their way up here. As I would do, I just want to summarize what we talked about. The things to take away for me today, and hopefully for you too, are the three quick things to do tangibly to fight this hurry sickness, to fight our need for speed. One is to pray. To pray it's on. If you don't have something that a rhythm of prayer, a way to remind yourself of this, jump to that Ephesians 3 verse. Ephesians 3:17-19. Start praying that over your own life, over the lives of your kids and your family and your friends. Prioritize. Cut out and say no to the things that don't fit and say yes to the things you need most, the things that really give life. And lastly, space it out. Give yourself some more space to be able to engage and to be present and to fight this hurry sickness. With that, let me just pray over us. Father God, I just am so grateful for you. Thank you for the ways that you just demonstrate your love for us, that you've demonstrated in your word through Jesus' life and death, the extravagant love, that your love is so wide, so high, so long and deep. God, that we can rest in that because we don't have to do anything else to earn it. We can't earn it. We can't speed our lives up to earn more of your love. But we can be filled by that, supplied completely of you. God, help us to take one step forward this week. Add one thing. Take one thing away. To make sure that we are centered, that we are focused on you as the giver of life, as our real life. God, I thank you for who you are, that we get to worship you. God, I pray a blessing over each as we go. God, that we could step forward knowing this is not guilt on us if we've been struggling with speed, but to know that you love us and you invite us. You invite us to you, into a relationship with you, because you know you are what we need the most. God, we love you. In your name I pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast today. Check out our app or website at bridgewaycommunity.org for more messages or to take the sermon one step deeper by downloading the sermon discussion guide.